Morning, everybody. Welcome to the service today, and welcome to Matt Moller again this week. And he had a lovely dry morning earlier on to walk the dog, which was lovely. It was a lovely day yesterday. Not so great the day weather-wise, but then again, we're in the best place possible to praise the Lord. So welcome to the service, everybody. And there's tea following the service, so please, when you leave the service, you go out that door and you'll get a cup of tea in the back hall. In terms of other announcements, Amanda Stevens' Turning Point Scotland support group is tomorrow lunchtime. So do remember Amanda and those she's helping in your prayers. And Knitting Nutter is tomorrow afternoon at 2 p.m. The children's meeting went to in Pinbowling, as I announced last week, last Monday. And my wife, Christine, has been involved. And again, if she's here yet, she's maybe not. Well, I can say this. Christine's been involved in the children's meeting, either attending as a child or helper or leader for 60 years plus. So I think she's out in the lobby, and again, if she heard that or not. But anyway, Christine received this text message from one of the children's meeting mums, who herself, the mother, attended the children's meeting when Christine was leading the meeting. She was thanking us for the bowling, Denpin bowling. She said, a few Mondays back, the Quines came home after the meeting and were going over their verses. The verse that ends with, I believe. Chloe said, Mum, I believe. I said, oh, what is that? So I phoned my dad and he spoke with her, and so we think that's her getting saved. She doesn't understand the term getting saved, but she knew what she believed. Isn't that lovely? Lord, I believe. And this is a great encouragement for us, because you don't always hear how these kids, and these kids are everywhere now, you know, in different places, and you hear sometimes children who are adults who are now, you know, have either died from drugs misuse or are going on with the Lord in other churches, which is great to hear. But it's an encouragement to know, as we as a church are praying for the young generation and the old generation, that the Lord is the God of salvation and he's the master of breakthroughs, and the word of God can break through. So thank you for your prayers for the children's meeting. And that's just a wee encouragement that we don't always hear about, but it's lovely to hear stories like that. And to that end, the Wednesday prayer meeting is on Zoom at 8 p.m. So do feel free to join us on Zoom on Wednesday night. The Thursday night fitness and fellowship. The outside walk is proven more popular than badminton and table tennis. So 6:30 p.m. on Thursday night and a cup of tea afterwards. The Pilates class is on Saturday at 9:30 a.m. The Sandhaven Brownies, I think, lost one of their leaders, the formerly trained leader, so they haven't been meeting for the last few weeks. I'm not sure what's happening with Sandhaven Brownies. But the Boys Brigade are meeting on a Friday night, and continue to remember the Sandhaven community in your prayers. They've got quite an expensive roof bill, apparently, for the community hall. And there's a few Sandhaveners here, so... and they're a blessing. And so remember Sandhaven and Petulie is a wee village in your prayers. Mark Hind, God willing, will be the speaker next week. And thanks again, Mark, for coming. I'll hand over to you now. Thank you.
Thank you, Norman, and it's so great to have the opportunity to be back with you. My wife and daughter send their regards. They're not with me today. We've been helping at a church in Granton-on-Spey, and Erica specifically has been helping with some of the children's work, and there were some kit commitments there, couldn't get out of, but they send their regrets. They couldn't be here with you today, so it's just me. Like I said, I'm not the best of the four of us, but, you know, I'm here. What else can you ask for? Let's go ahead and open with our first hymn this morning as we lift our hearts to worship together. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us and for your love and for your mercy. And we thank you that you are holy. We thank you, Lord, that in your holiness, you looked at our lost world. You looked at our lost state and you decided to do something about it. We thank you that you sent Jesus, Lord. Father, we thank you that all we have to do is believe. Lord, we thank you for the report of this young girl who has placed her faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And Father, it's so easy for us to look at a young one and think, well, do they even really know what they're saying? But what right do we have to say that when Jesus tells us it takes the faith of a child? Lord, we thank you for this girl. We pray that she would continue to grow in her walk with you, Lord. Father, we thank you for those who are willing to give of their time and invest in these children so that they can hear about you. Father, ultimately, that is what you have placed us here to do, to tell the world about you. Let us be faithful to do that. We ask now that you'd begin preparing our hearts for what you have for us, Lord. Lord, what we need from you, we ask you to give it and let us be willing to receive it. Have your will and your way among us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's lift our voices together as we sing again this morning. Today's reading is going to be from Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, in verses 1 through 10. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house." So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, "He has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner." Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost." Let's sing again together this morning. I think this is one that might be new to you. Just do the best you can. It's a great hymn.
What gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold. And rejoice.
If you were here last week, I talked about the fact that over the course of the Gospels and the book of Acts, we only hear Jesus call somebody by name a handful of times. In fact, in my reading, I could only find approximately seven individuals of whom we hear Jesus say their name to them in conversation. You know, when somebody calls your name, it's to get your attention in some way, right? Maybe it's to greet you, maybe it's to warn you, whatever it is. When somebody says your name, it is to bring something to your attention. Well, if you were a follower of Jesus Christ, that means that at some point, Jesus has called you by name. Jesus knows your name, and something amazing happens when Jesus calls your name. Last week, we looked at when Jesus called Mary Magdalene by name and how when he called her name, he did it to calm her fears. The voice of Jesus can have an incredible effect when we hear it call our name. Like Mary, he can call it to calm our fears, or like the individual we're going to look at today, when he calls our name, it is to call us to belonging. We've already looked at our text today, Luke chapter 19. But verse 10 of Luke chapter 19 is one of the most, if not the most, beneficial and wondrous truths in our universe. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. The Son of Man came, Jesus came, to seek and save those who were lost. I don't believe it's an overstatement to say that this is the most incredible truth in our universe. In fact, it is at the very heart of the existence of the universe. God actually created the universe, so in the universe, he could create the earth. So that on the earth, he could create the human race. So that out of the human race, he could seek and save lost sinners. That's what this is all about. The God of the universe seeking and saving lost sinners. It is the very reason why Jesus came to the earth. To seek and save those who were lost. Like Zacchaeus the sinner. Zacchaeus the sinner. The story of Zacchaeus is a perfect illustration of why Jesus came. But understand, it is so much more than a quaint story and a classic kid song in church, right? Did you guys sing that one over here? Zacchaeus was a wee little... What am I crazy? It says Zacchaeus was a wee little man. Of course you sang that over here. And a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. This passage is profound theology. Jesus calls the name of Zacchaeus to call him to belonging. Let's dig into our text a little bit more. Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. This meeting between Jesus and Zacchaeus, it takes place in Jericho. Jericho was a common stopping place for travelers on their way to Jerusalem. Most people found it important to stop and rest there because it was a dangerous road from Jericho to Jerusalem. Jesus himself recognized the danger of this road in his parable of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10. Well, we read that Zacchaeus was the chief publican, the chief tax collector of that area, and he was a very wealthy one at that. And this begs the question, if you were a tax collector, how do you become wealthy? Simple. You collect more than you're required to, and you pocket the difference. The name Zacchaeus means righteous one. But when we meet Zacchaeus, he's not even close to living up to that name. He is a picture of each and every one of us. God made us to be a holy people who live in joyous relationship with him. But left to ourselves, we can never live up to the design that God has for us. The tax collectors or publicans of Jesus' day, they were not very well liked. And that's kind of putting it kindly. To be honest, they were hated. They were hated because they represented the domination of Rome over Israel. Every tax collector was a living reminder that Israel was not free. They were despised because they sold their services to the foreign oppressor in order to make money at the expense of their fellow countrymen. Another reason they were hated was because they almost always overcharged people on their taxes and pocketed the difference. You see, the Roman government had a certain amount of tax that the publicans were required to collect, and they gave these tax agents wide power and wide authority to get the job done, and they had very little oversight. The tax collectors could collect as much as they wanted as long as they gave the required amount to Rome. Most of them became wealthy at the expense of others. This is the life that Zacchaeus was living. He had gotten to the point that many others, though, who have strived their entire life for wealth and success, he reached the point that many of them get to. When they get that wealth, when they get that success, they realize there's still an emptiness inside of them. And it leaves them searching for more. Verses 3 through 4. Zacchaeus tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. So we've met Zacchaeus the sinner. Now we meet Zacchaeus the seeker. He's seeking something. You see, in that culture back then, if you were a man of importance, you didn't run anywhere. People were just supposed to wait until you got there. But we read that Zacchaeus ran down the street like a little kid chasing a parade to see this Jesus. And when he got there to where the parade was happening, he couldn't see over the people, so he climbed a tree. He was desperate to get a sight of this Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd, so he climbed a tree. I think this tells us something else about Zacchaeus. He had money, but his money had not bought him belonging. He was wealthy, but he was so rejected by his own people, they wouldn't even make way for him to see through the crowd. And I think probably at his core, Zacchaeus probably struggled with that rejection. I think he probably suffered some feelings of rejection for some things that were totally out of his control. The text points out that Zacchaeus was a short man. It tells us that, first of all, to let us know what he had to do to get to see Jesus, right? He had to climb the tree. But I think that common sense tells us that he probably had experienced some harsh words in his life and some cutting comments simply because he was short. Every one of us has probably experienced some rejection in life for things that are out of our control. This cruel world that we live in is full of people that will tear us down because of things that are not of our own making. Maybe we were born a certain way, or because of something that has happened to us, we've been deeply hurt by others. And this has led us to feeling rejected. I think that's what Zacchaeus felt. And most likely, because of these feelings of rejection, he fell into the same unbiblical trap that many people can find themselves falling into. Well, if people are going to be terrible to me, then I'm going to be terrible to people. Survival of the meanest, right? Again, some of his feelings of rejection may have been due to things that were out of his control, but many of them were self-induced. Zacchaeus cheated people out of their money. And if you really want to make somebody mad at you, scam them out of their money. Rip them off. He also, by his actions, he bordered on being a traitor to the people of Israel. The point is, in saying that, is that often we can be the cause of our own rejection. We can cause the rejection ourselves. Our own behavior drives people away and will keep them at arm's length from us. You know, chances are, if you're a hateful, spiteful, vindictive, dishonest, mean, immoral, if you're a loudmouth, if you're rude, if you're discourteous, if you're a know-it-all, if you're arrogant or self-centered, don't be surprised if people don't want to spend time with you, right? With Zacchaeus, it was his own immoral and dishonest behavior that had earned him the reputation of being a sinner that nobody should have anything to do with. He had become wealthy, but he certainly had not become respected. This led to Zacchaeus to seek something I think we all seek in our life. Zacchaeus was seeking belonging. However, as we'll read in our next verses, Zacchaeus kind of thought he was out there seeking Jesus, but it was Jesus who was seeking him. Verse 5, when Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. Zacchaeus, he said, quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today. Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people around were displeased. He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner, they grumbled. We meet Zacchaeus the sought. Again, Zacchaeus thought he was seeking Jesus, but all along Jesus had been seeking him. By nature, the lost sinner does not seek the Savior. Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 11 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. When our ancestors Adam and Eve first sinned, what was the next thing they did? They hid from God. But Genesis 3 tells us that God came and sought them out. When Jesus was ministering on earth, he sought out the lost. And today, the Holy Spirit, through God's church, is searching for lost sinners. We don't know how God had worked in the heart of Zacchaeus to prepare him for this meeting with Jesus. One of the things that was said about Jesus was that he was the friend of publicans and sinners. I'm sure Zacchaeus had heard these rumors, and he was probably looking for a friend. It might even be possible Zacchaeus had heard about Jesus through a former acquaintance. We know that one of the 12, Matthew or Levi, was a tax collector. Maybe he had been a co-worker of Zacchaeus. Had he told Zacchaeus about Jesus? Was he praying for Zacchaeus? We don't know, but what we do know is that often in the Gospels, when someone came to Christ, the first thing they did was try to bring others to Christ. Over and over again, saved people bringing people to Jesus. In fact, many of the early believers and followers of Jesus Christ, if we really looked at them, we would find that they were much more personally interconnected than we might realize at first. Someone found Jesus, and they brought others to Jesus. People brought people they cared about to Jesus. That is still the model we are to follow today. Each of us is strategically positioned in our life to be a bridge between someone and a seeking Savior. You may be the bridge to someone in your life who is being sought by the Savior. How can you be that bridge? Maybe you don't need to be a bridge. Maybe going off our story, you need to be the tree. You need to be the tree that somebody can climb to get a sight of the Savior. How can you be that tree? How can you be that bridge? It could be as simple as just inviting somebody to come to church with you. We don't know if God had used somebody else in Zacchaeus' life, but what we can always rejoice in is the fact that a seeking Savior will always find a sinner who is looking for a new beginning. Zacchaeus was out there looking for belonging, and then he heard Jesus call his name. Zacchaeus, come down. I must be a guest in your home today. When Jesus calls your name, it is to call you to belonging. I must be a guest in your home today. Hearing this would have blown the minds of everyone who was present and could see who Jesus was talking to, as well as what Jesus was saying to him. If they thought Jesus was the Messiah, if they thought that he was the man of God, if they thought that he was the prophet of God, if they thought that he was holy and righteous, if they had any inkling along that line, these words would shock them. Because you didn't go to the house of a man like that, and you definitely didn't stay overnight in the house of a man like that. And this is what we hear them say. They're displeased that Jesus would have anything to do with this man. And while they were stunned and they complained and they grumbled, the text tells us that Zacchaeus received Jesus with great excitement and joy. This tells us that Zacchaeus came out of more than just curiosity. This tells us that Zacchaeus came for more than some kind of superficial interest. He didn't just come because he had some kind of idea that maybe this Jesus was a unique guy and this would be a unique life experience if I see him. No, he responds with joy and great excitement because Zacchaeus has some things going on in his heart that are pretty profound and pretty deep. Now remember, Zacchaeus is somebody who is isolated. He's alienated. He has no relationships with anybody that matters, with anybody that's good or noble or pure. His only companions are the riffraff, the worst of the worst, the scum. And deeper than that is the fact that he's an extortioner. He's a thief and a robber who has abused and harmed and hurt people and stolen from them. And Zacchaeus feels the weight of that. He can't worship. He can't go to the temple. He can't have an atonement offered for him. He doesn't belong until he hears Jesus call his name. Jesus sought Zacchaeus, and that changed his life. And when Jesus called his name, it changed his eternity. Verse 8 says, "Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, 'I will give half of my wealth to the poor, Lord. And if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much.'" We met Zacchaeus the sinner, Zacchaeus the seeker, Zacchaeus the sought. And now we meet Zacchaeus the saved. Something dramatic has happened in Zacchaeus' life. And now he wants to make right with all the people he has scammed. And that's a good thing, and that's an honorable thing. If we were to look back under the Mosaic law, if a thief voluntarily confessed his crime, he had to restore what he took, add one-fifth to it, and then bring a trespass offering to the Lord, Leviticus chapter 6. If the thief stole something he could not restore, he had to repay fourfold what was taken. Zacchaeus says, I'm going to try to make things right financially with those that I've ripped off. But he goes beyond that. He decides to give half of everything he owns to the poor. Imagine this. He gives away half his wealth, and then he says, just to the poor. And then he says, now with whatever I have left, I'm going to make right with all the people I've ripped off. Chances are he was given everything he had. What a comparison if we were to take the story of Zacchaeus and the story of the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler who seemed like he had everything necessary, who said, Jesus, I've done all this good. What one more good thing do I have to do to receive eternal life? Jesus says, sell all that you have and follow me. And he can't do it. The rich young ruler and Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus shows what true salvation does. It changes us. You've got this man who is a professional thief. He's an extortionist who has now become an instant philanthropist. You've got a man who has spent his entire life taking who now wants to give. You've got a man who has been defined by selfishness his entire life, now acting in an absolutely unselfish way. Something dramatic has happened here. What could have happened to change a man so dramatically in such a short time? You know what happened? Jesus called his name. When Jesus calls our name, he calls it with power. When Jesus calls our name to saving faith, we realize that saving faith is more than just pious words and devout feelings. Saving faith creates a union with Jesus Christ that results in a changed life. Zacchaeus wasn't saved because he did these good things. He wasn't saved because he gave half his wealth to the poor. He wasn't saved because he made right with everyone he ripped off. He wasn't saved because he did these good works. He did these good works because he was saved. James writes to us and says, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have good works, is dead. The book of Ephesians tells us you were saved unto good works, which God has before ordained that you should walk in them. Change is a natural consequence of a supernatural transformation. True salvation results in change. Zacchaeus was not saved because he promised to do good works. He was saved because he responded by faith when Jesus called his name. And having trusted the Savior, he then gave evidence of his faith. He showed the fruit of the Spirit. And look at the response of Jesus to the change in Zacchaeus. Jesus responded, salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. In other words, a true follower of God. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who were lost. And this one final comment that was made, Jesus made that comment to everybody else who was around. He made that comment to those who were unhappy and who were jealous that Jesus would dare to love a sinner like Zacchaeus. Jesus is saying, you know, the rest of you, you haven't gotten it all along, and you still don't get it now. He said, you're still grumbling and you're still complaining because you just don't get it. I have come to seek and save those who are lost, and I can't do anything for the self-righteous. Jesus came to save those who were lost. In their mind, to include this man, Zacchaeus, in the community of salvation, that was outrageous. But for us, it is the most magnificent expression of the redeeming grace and love of God Almighty. Jesus came to seek and save sinners, and then to totally transform them. Jesus calls our name to call us to belonging. The fact of the matter is, we're all in the same state that this man Zacchaeus was in. Spiritually dead, defiled, slaves of sin, full of guilt, living in isolation, ignorance, and darkness. We need a prophet from God to come and tell us the truth. We need a priest of God to come to give us access to God. We need a king to come and guide, protect, and provide. We need a shepherd to come and feed and lead. We need Jesus to call our name. It is the voice of Jesus that makes people alive, that cleanses them, that frees them from sin, that gives them light and instruction. Jesus didn't come to demonstrate a noble ethic. Jesus didn't come to bring us good morals. Jesus came to save people from their sin, from eternal hell, to bring them into his everlasting kingdom in heaven, and to make them the possessors of everlasting life. He came to call people to belonging. Maybe there are a few Zacchaeuses who are sitting in the trees here today, and you're curious enough to be here, and you're kind of looking through the leaves at this Jesus. You've heard about him. You've tried to see him for yourself. Maybe you're not so sure, but you're looking through the leaves. Then I pray that today is the day when he calls your name, when he comes to your house and brings his salvation. I pray that you would open your heart and receive him gladly. Maybe you've been sitting in that tree for a long time. Maybe you've been sitting in that tree for years. When Jesus calls your name, respond. You know, there may be people here who think that they're not good enough to really go to church, to be a part of a church. I have some relatives who have more than once said that if they ever even entered a church building, the roof would collapse, right? As if their sin is so much greater than God's grace, right? They think they're not good enough to be saved. Look at Zacchaeus. It's not about trying to be good enough. Because if that's what it was, none of us could get there. It is about realizing that on our own, we can never be good enough. We just have to answer when we hear Jesus call our name. We just have to believe with a childlike faith. Jesus didn't come to save those who deserve it. He came to save those who need it. Let me also say that I know that even for some Christians, you might struggle with this whole issue of acceptance and rejection. Probably we all struggle with it to some degree in our life. With all my heart, I want you to know you can be free of that. The approval of people is always conditional. But when Jesus called your name, he called you to belonging. Others in life may leave you feeling rejected, but Jesus will never let go of what belongs to him. Rejoice in that. If Jesus has called your name, you belong to him. It doesn't matter how others treat you. It doesn't matter what others say about you. If Jesus has called your name, you belong to him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you that you looked at our lost world and you decided to do something about it. Father, we thank you that you don't tell us that we need to fix ourselves, that we need to clean ourselves up a bit before you'll accept us. You just tell us to believe. Father, I thank you that at a very young age, you called my name and you called me to follow you. Father, you know every heart that is in here today. You know those who have responded when you called their name And you know those who still need to respond. Father, you've placed us here for a purpose. You've placed each of us in the families, in the friendships, in the workplaces, strategically for your purposes. Lord, there may be someone in our life that we're the only Christian they know. We're the only tree they can climb to get a peek of Jesus. Lord, let our roots go deep so we can be faithful to point others to the way. It's not about us having all the answers. It's not about us being able to give a theological dissertation. It's just about us telling others where they can see Jesus. Father, when we feel rejected in this world, let us remember that when you called our name, you called us to belonging. We belong to you. Lord, thank you for those bonds that unite us. Let us seek to honor you, and let us seek to accomplish what you've placed us here to do, to tell a lost world about you. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's close with a final hymn before we enjoy tea and coffee. Again, I'll leave you with the words the Lord left to us on what he wants from us. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen.